You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us here this afternoon here on The Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle, and we are going to begin with a mid-afternoon prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, O Divine Savior, I transport myself in spirit to Mount Calvary to ask pardon for my sins, for it was because of humankind's sins that you chose to offer yourself in sacrifice. I thank you for your extraordinary generosity, and I am also grateful to you for making me a child of Mary, your mother. Blessed Mother, take me under your protection. Saint John, you took Mary under your care. Teach me true devotion to Mary, the Mother of God. May the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be glorified in all places through the Immaculate Virgin Mary. Amen. Brothers and sisters, as I said, thanks so much for joining us here this afternoon. And what I wanted to talk about with you today, and sometimes, you know, have you ever heard of the expression, give your head a shake? You know what that means, right? Give your head a shake. Like, come on, wake up, smell the coffee, you know, smell the roses, as they say. You know, it's that whole power of discernment, right? And what is discernment, right? It's your ability to make a wise decision in a difficult situation, right? So, but then we think to ourselves, okay, what does discernment look like? What does that look like for us? Like when you're trying to make a good decision for yourself, right? Especially if you are a worrier. So discerning our own anxiety from the voice of God can be difficult, but it's really important. First of all, first let me say this. When you are ready to come to the Lord and you've got decisions to make, you've got concerns on your mind, the best thing to do is to, when you come into the presence of the Lord quietly, calm your heart. Bring your voice quietly and calm your heart. In Scripture, it says, "My sheep hear my voice." So in the quiet, so think of that. And think, you know, and realize that you are in the presence of God. I want to share with you Psalm 100. And I want to make sure that you hear this little tiny little psalm. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 100. Brothers and sisters, we have to remember something. We have to remember that when we come to the Lord, there is a law there that says we must come to him with rejoicing and with thanksgiving. So when you come and you're not sure about which way to go on a decision, you need discernment.
You need
the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when you begin, I want you to think of three things that you are truly grateful for. Thank the Lord for three things in your life. And you have to do that on a habitual, daily basis. It could be at the end of the day. It could be first thing in the morning. You decide when, but make it a regular thing that happens for you. The Lord will be with you, brothers and sisters. You're not going to make a decision completely on your own. The Lord God will help you. And you need that opportunity to show your gratitude. And just think about your day and you say to yourself, you know, okay, well, maybe at the end of the day you might say, well, you know what? Usually I have a lot of pain in my knee and for some reason today, you know, it wasn't so bad. Or maybe you had a lovely dinner or a lovely lunch and, you know, it was really nice. You'd be thankful for that. So you have to take the time and think about what good things has the Lord shown you. And that's the way you're going to open your eyes to discernment, because it's this grace that comes from the Holy Spirit. But this daily habit that is asking you to give thanks to the Lord, give thanks. And you know what? You will receive God's love through his voice coming to you. You're going to know it. You're going to know it. You're really going to know it. You know, sometimes not everyone, but I'm a worrier, right? And that's not a good thing. I'm not proud of that, you know, and I'm trying to tackle that. And I've been trying to tackle it for a long time. But for some reason, I think I'm actually giving my little head a shake. And I think it's actually working. So I try not to agonize over too many things and paranoia or fears that we might have, right? I teach a young little boy. He's in grade 5. And he actually does a self-talk prior to going to the dentist. He's grade 5. And he's telling me what he does. He says, when I go to the dentist, before I go, I talk to myself. And he gives the fearful response of what if there's a cavity? What if it's going to be a needle? What if it's going to hurt? And what if this and this and this? So he gets himself to that point. And then he flips it over and says, no, don't do that. You know it's going to be okay. You're brushing your teeth. Like, it's just unbelievable. A grade 5 student, a young little boy, a beautiful boy who has this spirit of discernment. He's using the discernment in him to reason things out, to put things in their proper place, you know? Sometimes, you know, when we are anxious, well, it takes time to practice between the difference between our own anxiety and when God is really trying to speak to us through the Holy Spirit. But you can know when you need to listen and when you need to ignore the thoughts in your head. And here's the prime example. Anything that's negative, brothers and sisters, anything that comes fearful to you, anything that brings stress to you, anything that makes you feel anxious, guess what? It's not from the Lord. It's not from the Lord. When God is speaking to you, it's not likely, you know, that he's going to stand in front of you in the flesh. No. But he will help you hear him through the thoughts and your feelings, right? So if any of us lack wisdom, We can ask God in faith and receive answers by the power of the Holy Spirit, who speaks to us through inspired thoughts and feelings. And when we really, with a contrite, with a genuine, loving heart, seek answers in faith, and we come to our Lord in His presence, God will answer us in a very quiet way that we can recognize. So, to know if it's your thoughts or actually from God, you have to understand how the Spirit feels. So in Galatians chapter 5, voila, I have my little Bible here, and it's called, and it's in my Bible, it's the fruit of the Spirit. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. Brothers and sisters, Galatians 5, verse 23. That was 22. So putting it simply, if an answer or prompting is from God, you're not going to feel that fear. You're not going to feel worried. You're not going to feel stressed, my friends. But instead, you'll have this feeling of peace and of happiness, even if the task at hand or the answer can be overwhelming. You can still be at peace when it is something that God has told you to do. You can fight that fear, brothers and sisters. The voice of God will resonate within you. While we need to be ready to actually listen for God's voice, He is not going to speak to us in ways that we don't understand. Okay? Our Savior is going to speak to us in a voice that we recognize when we come to Him. For He knows us. Nobody knows us better than Him. After all, He created us. He meets us where we are, no matter our level of understanding. It doesn't matter if you're a theologian. Doesn't matter if you're in a seminary school. It doesn't matter if you just graduated from high school or elementary school or you've just retired. It doesn't matter. No matter your level of understanding, He wants desperately to communicate with all of us through prayer and through the influence of the Holy Spirit. And when we respond better to thoughts and feelings or other means, that is the way God will communicate with us. When we are worried and stressed or fearful, we can pray to God and ask Him to help us know what we are to do. He can calm us and send peace. If our worries are unwarranted, I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, we're just going to leave that. Sorry. Okay, so here's the thing, brothers and sisters. In a calm manner, we approach the Lord in His awesomeness, in His presence. And He's going to give us a calmness. He's going to help us with our anxious thoughts in our minds and help us refocus what He needs us to be concerned about. God doesn't use fear tactics, though He can be sometimes very direct in answers. When God speaks, we will feel it in our hearts and minds. He speaks in terms of peace, my friends. In terms of peace, not anxiety, brothers and sisters. So here is something for you to think about. It was the night before Jesus was crucified. He was sharing the Last Supper with His disciples and turned to Peter, also called Simon. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." A sifter, A sifter is a machine that violently shakes grain and turns it into soft flour, right? Those of you who bake like I do, you might have a sifter at home. Satan was asking permission to violently shake Peter. A few hours later, Satan pulled out his first round of ammunition. What did he do? He fired fear at Peter to get him to deny Christ. Satan knew if he could get Peter and each of all of us, to fail for fear, our faith may fail. If this happens, he then sends the atomic bomb of shame and embarrassment. There are three things that we can learn from this little story to encourage all of us in our troubles. Satan sometimes asks God for permission to shake us, just like he did Peter. God allows hardships for divine purposes. Our faith is increased through each trial, and we learn to trust God's faithfulness and accept his mercy. Oh my gosh, brothers and sisters, to break that stronghold, to break that yoke around our neck, and not to be fearful, to be able to go where we needed to go. Some people have a great fear of the dentist. They hate it. They have sweaty hands. Their heart goes faster, beats faster. Everything just seems awry. But if we can let go and trust God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, with every ounce of energy that we have, and accept his faithfulness and trust him and trust him. Can you imagine to walk in a time where you've always been dreadful and fearful of the dentist, and to walk in and say, "Hi, good morning, how are you? I'm here for my appointment." And you know what? I'm telling you, my friends, it works. Jesus is praying for us that our faith will not fail. That's huge, my friends, huge. The very God of the universe prays for you and me. Even when we fail, God quickly forgives when we ask, and he frees us from self-condemnation. Peter learned this lesson not from his successes, but from his failures. After he denied Christ, Jesus forgave him and commissioned Peter to preach the gospel and to care for others. He could have lived with the shame of failing in his faith, but Jesus' forgiveness washed that away. Self-condemnation. Ready? Blaming ourselves. Oh, you know, someone's blamed you and forgiven you, and you can't forgive yourself. Self-condemnation is probably one of the worst ways Satan tries to sift us. If our faith falters, we need to immediately ask God for forgiveness and not stay stuck in guilt. This helps take our focus off of ourselves, and it puts it on serving others and the Lord. Has Satan been sifting you lately? I know I understand this. Deadlines, if you have, poor health issues, money frustrations, the pressures of life can shake our faith. And these things can cause us to doubt that God is enough and will take care of each of us. In the middle of trials, in the middle of a pandemic, we need to remember that God is in control. Jesus is praying for us. And there is grace, beautiful grace, when our faith fails. Trusting these truths will move us from doubt and defeat to hope and peace. And we can say, "Dear Lord, help me increase my faith and give me your strength to help others. Thank you for praying for me and giving me grace when I don't deserve it. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen." Isn't that beautiful, brothers and sisters? Yes, so beautiful, so beautiful. So, my friends, I hope this is resonating with you. I hope it's coming through for you, because it's really important, my friends, really important. So it's really important. See that you're not deceived, right? Because many come, as in scripture in Luke chapter 21, see that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name saying, I am he, and the time has come. Do not follow them. What an interesting line, right? What does that mean? Who are the many that Jesus speaks of? Are they in our midst today? Are they? It may not be helpful to try to point this or that person or to this and that group of people in reference to the many who will come in Jesus' name falsely. But it is helpful to speak to some general and guiding principles. First of all, Jesus uses the word deceived, right? He uses the word deceived. There will be many false prophets who will have the ability to deceive. They will portray themselves as messengers of the truth and dispensers of the will of God, and their words will be convincing, and many will follow. This tells us that not everyone speaking in the name of God is in fact speaking in the name of God. And even if many others are following and they are very convincing, this is not proof that the person is a true prophet of the Lord. So, how do we discern when someone is speaking from the heart of Jesus? Ultimately, this can only be done through a state of prayer. Being in a state of prayer means that our hearts are attuned to God's voice. When God speaks through this or that person and our hearts are tuned into Him, we will simply know His voice as it is spoken through this or that person. Conversely, when we are living in a state of true prayer and then someone speaks a false and deceiving message, something will not sit well with us. There will be a sense in the depths of our soul, something just isn't quite right. It's this spiritual sense that this is the result of a healthy working in our conscience. There are external guides, such as the revealed teaching of the church and the counsel of other good Christians. But in the end, we must allow God to speak within our conscience and follow His voice in this holy sanctuary. So reflect today upon whether or not do you daily seek out God? Do you look and listen and hear God speaking to you in the depths of your conscience? Listen closely. Learn His voice, my friends, and seek to hear Him speak through other people. And when the voice of others is in opposition to the voice speaking within your soul, remain faithful to God speaking within you. And it's there more than any other place that He is going to lead you. So a little mini prayer. Lord, give me the grace to know and hear Your voice. I choose You above all things and desire to know You more clearly. May I follow You now and always in my life, and may I never be deceived by the many false prophets of our day and age. Jesus, I trust in You. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, as we are nearing wrapping up, we always have to remember, what is that beautiful gift, right? The beautiful gift of discernment is that Spirit-given ability to distinguish whether the source of what is presented is of divine, human, or demonic origins. It may be in an atmosphere, in someone you meet, it might be in an event, or a message you hear. Now, you might be wondering, well, how would I even know? And I guess I'll have to wrap it up in the next one, but I'll do my best. But how would you know that you even have this spirit, this gift of discernment, right? So Just hold on, my friends. Okay. So, all right. So, as with spiritual gifts, my friends, as with spiritual gifts, desire is often the very first sign of a gift of discernment. So you may have a longing to see people set free from demonic bondage, or you may want to be more effective in your prayer, right? And be aware of that there is a spiritual warfare that has been going on as long as we can remember. Or you may have a desire for holiness, right? That desire is the first sign of a gift of discernment. Perhaps you're just simply curious about the spiritual realm. Maybe you also have a love for God's presence. And one of the benefits and signs of having a gift of discernment is a heightened awareness of God's presence and anointing. A true discerner will have a passion for the ungrieved presence of the Holy Spirit. This is because the highest use of the gift of discernment is not to see what the enemy is doing. It is to discern what the Spirit of God is doing. Then you might become more sensitive to the spiritual atmosphere, right? So you might be actually affected adversely by the presence of any demonic activity, especially when it is in the environment around you. Right? The reality is that we live in a natural world and a spiritual world concurrently. And in the Bible, when Jacob came across a group of angels, he named that place Mahanaim, meaning double camp. Like Jacob realized, we also live in a double camp where there is a constant spiritual activity. Those with the gift of discernment have a spiritual sense, and they are attuned to this. Then you may also have a feeling that's different than other people. Most people, even in church life, experience life through natural senses. However, someone with a gift of discernment of spirits can see and sense things that others don't see. And this result comes in a feeling of that you feel different, lonely or misunderstood at times, especially when you're starting out. But it is vital that someone with a gift of developing a gift of discernment finds a safe place to journey with others who are similarly gifted and accountable in the life of church. In other words, brothers and sisters, you know, just because all the parishioners are there in church doesn't mean they are all, you know, everyone is being judged. We're all being judged accordingly. But when you meet someone, brothers and sisters, and it just feels right, that, you know, and when you talk with them, it's great. You know that God is leading you, that God knows this, you know, that this is the right person you should hang out with, right? You'll know, you have that sixth sense, you know? So my friends, when you submit what you're seeing or sensing, and you realize that if it's something good, something for you to remember, something that is positive and gentle upon your spirit, you will know that it's coming from the Lord. Many of us need to recognize that we need to develop this spirit of discernment, and we do have difficulty with it, but we can't do it alone, and we can only do it through the Holy Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, pray about it. Ask the Lord when it's your prayer time. Sit with Jesus and ask Him to open your heart and your mind to develop the spirit of discernment. God bless you, and see you next time. Bye for now.